The reading for today is from Exodus 34, 5 through 7, and Matthew 26, 47 through 56. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children of the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." And then Matthew 26. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. There was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat with you in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Lord, please bless our pastor, the man that we have called to lead us, to be our shepherd here on earth. We know you have anointed him, so let us listen with open ears and an open heart that we might have ears to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was a kid, there was a special relief program for parents called Looney Tunes. Every Saturday morning, they could count on a little bit of respite. A little bit of coffee and pajamas while we were glued to the idiot box watching cruelty to animals. Like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And Wile E. Coyote was sort of a pyrotechnics expert. He was always working with dynamite and bombs and things like that. And there's this one scene with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, and he has in his hand a bomb that he's going to hurl at this speedy and clever bird to finally capture his dinner. So he strikes the match, puts it to the fuse, and immediately the bomb blows up. That is the Bible picture of impatience. A short fuse. I had a moment like that in my very own life. It was when the family got their first dog. Our family had our first dog. A beautiful labradoodle, hypoallergenic, with soft fur, lively and happy and very opportunistic. And one day I came home starving, ready to eat my shirt, and I made the perfect sandwich, hot sandwich with melted cheese and the perfect sauces. Set it on the table, turned around very briefly to wash the mayonnaise off my hand, and in that time, that dog, new to our home, under our roof, snatched that food and wolfed it down. Immediately, this sound erupted from my soul that was like the breaking apart of an ancient oak tree in a storm. It was a ferocious crackling roar, which has nothing to do with training puppies, but man, I was mad. That's impatience as well. That's a short fuse. A long fuse is different. There's a psychology experiment that was done with preschoolers. They set them in this room with a plate full of marshmallows. And they said, just a few marshmallows. They said, if you wait 5 minutes, we'll give you twice as many marshmallows. And maybe a third of the kids waited, and the rest of them just looked around and popped the marshmallows in, right? Well, they followed up years later to see how the kids were doing. And the patient kids were doing better in life. They had better skills. It was hard to be patient, but it paid off. Well, my friends, patience is called the queen of virtues. It's a very important virtue. And just to clarify what we're talking about in the Bible and where we are, if you're just catching up, we're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But I've given you scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that are going to try to help explain my point of what patience looks like today. There are two words in the New Testament for patience. One is to remain under. It's a word that's often translated endurance. When you are patiently persevering, suffering, dealing with a situation that's weighing on you. That's one kind of patience. The other kind of patience is the word that we have in this list in Galatians 5:22. And it's also a compound word with two words. One's remain under. This one is long passion. Long as in a long distance or a long period of time, and passion as in blowing up, like what I did with the dog. The word passion, interestingly, you know, it's translated wrath and anger and fits of rage. The science of the word, the way the word functions, is it comes from a word for steam or vapor. It's like when smoke is coming out of your ears. That kind of complete loss of control, a blow up. So if you have a long fuse before you blow up, then you've got the kind of patience that's talked about in this list of fruits of the Holy Spirit. So the question that comes to my mind immediately when I think of this is, how do I know if I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit patience or if I'm just good at it? You know, there are plenty of people who are patient who are not devoting themselves to being disciples of Jesus Christ. They're just good folk, or they're folk that are good at being patient. They've learned the hard way, or whatever it is, they devoted themselves to patience. Well, there's a variety of ways that the Holy Spirit works to give us this fruit of patience. First of all, I want to point out that it's in God's character to be patient. The Old Testament scripture that said God is gracious and slow to anger, that's a word, that's a passage that describes God's character. The children of Israel were completely blowing it, and Moses was mad, and God was mad, and Moses was desperate, and he asked God to show him his glory. Show me your glory, God. Knowing that if he saw more closely who God was and what God was like, that he would be able to restart his effort to deliver the children of Israel from slavery. God came along and said the words that we saw on the screen today. Gracious God, slow to anger, compassionate, and yet just, punishing sin. And I know that that's difficult for us to understand the generational sin and how sin affects generations. We'll get to that conversation some other time. But the thing to point out in that passage is that God is slow to anger. in Hebrew, the word slow to anger is really similar to the New Testament word for patience. It means having a long nose, which is very similar to long passion, a long blow up. The Hebrew expression means, it's kind of like when veins pop out of your neck, is it takes a long time before you get so mad that your nose turns beet red because you're just ready to shred somebody and lose it and blow up. You can endure a lot of provocation before that hits you. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 3 says, stone is heavy and sand is heavy, but provocation from a fool is heavier than both. So patience, that is God's character, is the provoking act happens a long time before it moves a person from point A, calm and peace, to point B, a blow up. So it's in God's character. God is that way. And God gives us his character through giving us a new heart. The Old Testament, with all its wild, wonderful, strange, and difficult teaching, and it's never irrelevant. It's Jesus' Bible. It's our Bible too. The Old Testament, I think, communicates these two things very, very clearly. Number one, God is holy. God is pure and completely without blemish. Very holy. Lives in unapproachable light. And those that wish to dwell and live with God, to be in God's presence, must be made holy. The second thing that the Bible communicates is that we are unholy. We are stained and tainted. And we have a sinful nature that is tainted and stained and not able to stand in the presence of God. And the whole story goes through every kind of effort to bring the human being to be able to live with God. That's the purpose that you and I were made for, to live with God in worship and in community, holy God in holy relationship. They get a pure and pristine law that's very precise and very strict and should keep them and allow them to be cleansed and be holy. And they blow it and blow it, blow it, century after century, until they're thrown into exile. And then after that humiliation, that defeat, that pain, they're given a chance to come back to the Holy Land and rebuild the temple and start over. And they try so hard and they fail again. And that's when the prophet Ezekiel says, I will put a new spirit in you and give you a new heart. I'll take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Friends, that's the only hope. That's the gospel. That's what the Lord gives you in the Holy Spirit, a new heart. That's when the character of God starts to grow in you. Now, it may be true that you can train your brain to be patient, because if you do something repeatedly for 6 weeks, it will change the tissue in your brain. Your brain will be different. But God can give you the help to change that tissue. In Exodus chapter 28, when Moses is calling the people to build the tabernacle, craftsmen were recruited for the job, and the scripture says that they were given a spirit of skill. Working with gold or wood or embroidery is just flesh and blood, hands and work kind of material. And God gave special skill for that. So God can give you the skill to keep your mouth shut. God could even give you the skill to keep your nose not red, to keep you from blowing up. God can give you the capacity to guard the peace that is the gift of God that you heard about last week, as Crystal put it so beautifully. So the character of God that's in God's heart comes to you through the new heart, and God can train you. God gives you the help. It's a continual process kind of thing. But I also think that there's an immediate miracle that can take place that can give you an experience of patience. A few weeks ago, you heard me talk about Corrie Ten Boom, who was in the concentration camps in Germany. And one day after the war, she met the man who betrayed her and her family. And she had to see four of her family members die in the camps. And when she met this man, she was filled with disgust and contempt and hatred for him. And unexplainably, upon her fell love. She felt love. Well, the same thing can happen with patience. God can work a miracle. And the scripture about Jesus' betrayal and arrest, I think, explains the greatest miracle that we have offered in the Bible, perhaps. I see it as a very great miracle. Maybe you've heard the expression that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but it was His love. His love for you and me. When Jesus says, couldn't my Father send 12 legions of angels? He's saying, I could blow up right now. These wicked hypocrites who want to kill the Son of God, who's come to give His life and He's done nothing but good, there's every reason to destroy them. Their life is a gift anyway. Nobody has the right to complain when their life is taken away from a God who gives it as a gift anyway. Why should I let them live, the ones that betray me with a kiss and that throw me into a false trial and beat me and blindfold me and rip my back apart and hang me on the cross? Why should I let them live? Because I'm patient. Because I have a long fuse. God's patience is the cross. And when the Lord Jesus, who had flesh and blood like you and I, gave Himself up after praying so hard that He was sweating blood, when He gave Himself up, He was exercising a miraculous and powerful patience from God. And that miracle power is available for us. It's in God's character. God gives us His character through a new heart. And it's also a miracle power of God that's available, that can manifest itself in your life in a time when you need it. That's God's patience. So the next question is, how do I get more of this fruit of the Holy Spirit kind of patience in my life? And to encourage you in this, I want to just review with you John chapter 15, something I said before and I'll probably say again in this series. Jesus compared Himself to the vine. He said, I'm the vine. My Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in Me, you will bear much fruit. The Apostle Paul said, May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. So have faith. Dwell in Christ. It seems cliche to say go through the motions, but don't simply participate in Christian activities. But stir your soul up to have faith, believe in Christ. Jesus was always repeating to the people He was ministering to, His disciples, where is your faith? The reason He said that is because it's a human tendency to constantly drift away from faith. We may keep faithful practices, but where is your faith? Stir up your faith. Trust in the Lord. Let Christ dwell in your heart through faith. In that connection with Christ is the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. So, if you feel that you've never had faith in Christ and you want to receive Him and make Him the Lord of your life, or you would like to have more of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, Jesus gives you this advice from Matthew, this word from Matthew 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Jesus says He'll give good gifts to those who ask Him. So ask and seek and knock and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says there in Matthew. To ask is to pray. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Give me more of Your Holy Spirit. Give me the kind of faith that I need. Do what You must do so that I can have strong faith in You and be filled not with the little of the Spirit but overflowing just like You promise. Ask. To seek is to act upon your own prayers. Right now, you're in church or you're watching, you're seeking the Lord. To listen to a sermon is to seek the Lord. To pray on your own without anybody making you is to seek the Lord. To go to a conference is to seek the Lord. To read a book, to have a holy conversation with somebody, seek. It's to carry out and take action. And then finally, there's knock. Knocking is in relation to something particular, a door. And a door is what separates one area from another. It's a barrier that can move. When you walk through a door, you leave one area and enter another. That means if you intend to ask, seek, and knock, you pray, you follow through with your prayer, with seeking, and then when an opportunity comes, you take it. Here it is. Turn to the side that says renewal. This is your opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is your opportunity to grow in the Holy Spirit, to learn more about Christ abiding in your heart through faith, to be stirred up and given a fresh opportunity, fresh invitation to have the Holy Spirit bear fruit in your life. And I feel this morning that I should invite people who are not the church groupie type, right? If you don't even really come every Sunday, and you never really consider it something that you're expected to do, to come to an extra thing, do what nobody expects you to do. You know that it's the Lord giving you patience when nobody will reward you for your patience. Jesus' disciples were disgusted and horrified with his patience when he let himself get arrested. That's why Jesus was trying to chop off that guy's head and only got his ear. He didn't want Jesus to be patient. When you're patient and nobody wants you to, you know it's from the Lord. And when you walk through this door, when you knock and the door is open and nobody expects you to because you're not the kind that usually comes to this kind of thing, you know it's an invitation from God. I feel in my heart that I'm to invite you, especially if this is not something that you normally would come to. So, my friends, that is today's word about patience. Now, let us pray.